Welcome to another episode of the Forgotten Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph. As always, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening if you are. If you noticed, I got a YouTube channel, but I haven't posted in a bit just because listen, man, it's been hard. Posting on YouTube is hard. Gotta get the right quality, gotta get the right lighting, gotta get a good camera. My camera last time was very trash. So hopefully this one's better. Feel free to leave a comment letting me know how you think. But super excited to get to back to podcasting regularly. So today we got my Lakers to talk about, and as well as the NFL Combine, NFL Draft, just some basic things just to kind of get the week going, or kind of get the weekend going, I guess. It's already Thursday, and you'll be hearing this on Thursday, hopefully. But let's get to it. Last night, Lakers beat the Clippers 116 to 112, and it was a great game. I fell asleep on the game, actually. I was watching the game. My fiance, we were watching a movie. I forget the name of the movie, but it was a good movie. But I fell asleep on the movie, as I always, like around like 8:30. And I woke up like I woke up because I fell asleep. I was watching the game on my iPad, and the game was over, honestly. So I just kind of shut it down in the third quarter after Norman Powell hit the three. And I just fell asleep. So woke up around like 3 o'clock, couldn't go to sleep. Turn on the just got my phone, looked up the results of the game, just see how much we lost by, and we won. And I go to Twitter, and everybody's all like, "Oh my God, LeBron James, the greatest of all time," all this stuff, right? So I go to the YouTube, I'm just all right, let me check to see what actually happened. Go to YouTube, check it out, and LeBron James is one of the best players of all time, if not the GOAT. I mean, what he did yesterday was phenomenal. I mean, I don't think we've seen a performance like that. In the fourth quarter in a minute. I mean, I know he had a game like that a few years back, against the Clippers, when we beat them, like one of the two times we beat them over the past like few years. But he had a game like that. I remember he had a game like that. We were down by like I think like 15 or 13 going into the fourth. But I think we lost that game now that I'm thinking about it. But even so, I just wanted to kind of talk about the Lakers for a second because there's a couple things. As it says right now, with our record, I think we're 31 and 28 right now. I don't have the record right in front of my face, but think we're about 31 and 28. But for the most part, I would say we're in a good place because we are doing better than we were at last year. And, we're like I was telling my brother yesterday, we are a second half team. And that is literally in the game, second half, but also literally during the season, we're a second half team. So I think, moving forward, I do think that we will be better. Consistently, we don't leave California for a whole month. We got like seven. We got a well, at least well, counting the Clipper game, we had an 8-game homestead just because Staples Center, Staples Center. So we got about a couple more games left to kind of figure out things before the playoffs start, and hopefully get the sixth seed because I do not want to sweat out the play-in again. That was definitely not a fun time. That Grizzlies game was not a fun game, and then the Warriors game was not a fun game. Those series, I mean. So it's just a matter of trying to figure out like where are we at, trying to get to the point of where we feel confident enough to play the way we played in the fourth quarter, but play it for a full 48 minutes. That's one thing I don't like about the Lakers. We don't play 48 minutes strong. We just don't, and we haven't done it all season long, where we haven't had a game. You know what? I pushed back a little bit on myself because I remember earlier in the season, we played OKC in OKC after like a 3-game skid, and we dominated the game from start to finish. This is obviously with Vando, but I think overall we are going to be good. I think we are going to be good. I just do. Am I projecting that we will make it to the finals? No. Am I projecting that we'll win playoff series? No. But I am a lot more confident just knowing that we have LeBron James. I mean, the way the things he's doing right now on the court is it's just remarkable. I don't think we will ever see a player like this before. I mean, again, I mean, this is the last of that dying breed where they still played against Kobe. They played against they played against their peers like Melo, guys who are out the league now like KG, Paul Pierce. They played against Dog. I guess that's what I'm saying. And I don't think that we will ever get to the point where we will have dogs anymore in this league. I just don't. I think we have a lot of cats in this league, and that's part of the problem with this league. But I really do think that there's a lot of stuff to say about the league right now. I just don't know where to put it at right now. I would say this. If LeBron James were to retire next year, the league is going to be in a serious problem. Now, good thing for the league, he still looks good as good can be right now. And he is not showing any type of slowness. He just isn't. I think one of the things that we have to watch out for as a Laker community, a Laker fan base, as you guys watch this and listen to me, we got to watch out because we need a guy other than LeBron and AD to take over the toll. We just do. And we're not going to get that from D'Lo, unfortunately, or Reeves. They're great players, they're great role guys. I think we have a great system set up, but I don't know if they're going to be the type of player that can consistently drop 30 and 10 or 25 and 10 every single night, like a guy like Trae Young, who I've been asking for a long time now. So, yeah, I think we are in a good place right now. I just do, as a Laker fan, we have, like I said, 7-game homestead, 3 games. After that, inside of California with the Kings, which I will be going to that Kings game. I think it's March 23rd, I want to say. I'll be there. But I just think that there's a lot of things that we got to say about this team. So I will say this before I leave the Lakers. We got to have a discussion about Darvin Ham. We just do. I don't think I don't think LeBron has had a worse coach in his career. I just don't. I went down his coaching path or coaching history, whatever, and he's had Mike Brown, Eric Spoelstra, David Blatt, Tyronn Lue, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, and then now we got Darvin Ham. And I may be missing a name in that Cleveland there. I don't think I am, but I may be oh yeah, when he first originally started, I forget the coach's name, but neither here or there. I would say at the time, I would say just before Darvin Ham, I would say his worst coach he's ever had was probably Luke Walton. Like, I remember those first games where Luke Walton was coaching and he just didn't know what to do with LeBron or the team. And he was not fit to be a head coach at that time. I don't think he ever will be a head coach again. But I just don't know if Darvin Ham actually knows X's and O's of basketball. And I just don't understand because there's more to basketball than just calling plays and X and O's, right? There are knowing the rotation, knowing when to take guys out, knowing who can start, knowing when who can come off the bench and still produce. And I've watched him for the past 3 seasons or 2 seasons, I guess, and it's just I don't see it. I just don't see him being able to adjust in game as well as just adjust the different lineups that he needs to play. And a consistent lineup at that. Like Max Christie gets a DNP yesterday or gets 5 minutes yesterday. Other than that, he gets, 5 minutes. The game before that, he got like 30 minutes or 20 or 20 to 30 minutes. And then you got a guy like Taurean Prince who gets a lot of minutes, but he doesn't produce really well when he gets a lot of minutes. But when he does, when he gets less than, take it like this. There's a stat out there on StatMuse called, and that they call it, and it's when he plays less than 24.5 minutes a game, the Lakers are 12-0. That's not a coincidence. Every single Laker fan that is a Laker fan can see that Taurean Prince is a great player. He's a great role player. We got him. I was super excited because this guy can knock down timely shots. He can guard key guys, when we need him to at certain possessions. He's just a great player. He's a great role player. He's been a great role player his whole career, but he's not a starter in this NBA. And I think even he knows that. So last night, Darvin Ham made an adjustment to go to Rui. And I guess he's made some statements saying that this should be the lineup for the foreseeable future. But I don't even think Rui is a starter personally. I just don't. Obviously, Vando was out, so kind of got to make do what you got. But I really don't think Rui is a starter in this league. Is he a great scorer? Yes. Can he score at times? Yes. Can he not score at times? No. Because here's the thing with Rui. When he's not scoring, he's not really efficient. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great defender. He to me, Rui is one of our worst defenders in terms of just on ball. And I don't know what the analytics stats says or what the advanced stats say, but my eyeballs tell me that he's one of the worst defenders that we have on our roster right now. I would trust Austin Reaves to defend a player more than Rui. Now, when I'm talking about on ball on the perimeter. Now, when it comes to banging bodies below on the floor, in the post, he proved last year that he can take it up with the best with Joker. He kind of stopped Joker for about 2 games, I would say. You know, kind of didn't stop him, but kind of limited his scoring. And you know, that's when Joker started passing the ball a lot more. But I would just say this. Darvin Ham needs to learn how to rotate better because I don't know how Spencer Dinwiddie all of a sudden is a sixth man of the year guy for Darvin Ham. Like, I don't know where he's leading the team in minutes off the bench. And I don't get it. I just don't understand how that is the case. I can see how Spencer can contribute at times, but he's just not as good of a player as he has been in past year. He just hasn't. He's leading the league, or I don't know if he's leading the league, but he has the worst shooting percentage, field goal percentage in the league. He is not a good 3-point shooter anymore. He misses wide open shots. He turnovers the ball. He dribbles the ball loosely. He can't play defense. There's just so many bad stuff about Spencer Dinwiddie that I just don't understand how he is even playing. And I thought it was, I'm not gonna lie, I even had a conspiracy of my own thinking that, you know, Bitcoin was down, so that maybe affected him because I know he was getting paid through Bitcoin. But Bitcoin's, last time I checked, it was at like $64,000, 63,000. It's doing good right now. So last night, we should have seen a good game from him if that was the case, you know. So I just think that there's a lot of stuff going on with Spencer, and I just don't understand it. One thing I did want to touch on the NBA before we got to the NFL real quick is the Andrew Wiggins situation. So Andrew Wiggins is going on personal leave once again. I don't know if it was the same time he did last year, but I want to say it is. Like, after All-Star break, he went on leave last year and he came back and he just wasn't the same. And this is something that's not really getting talked about in the mainstream media because I think people in the NBA like to respect people's personal time. But this is weird. This is very weird. I don't know what is going on with Andrew Wiggins and his personal life. You know, hoping him the best, wishing him the best. But this is starting to become a pattern that something needs to get talked about and something needs to be addressed about it. Because for many times, we give players the benefit of the doubt. We give players saying, hey, you know what? You guys are the NBA. But you guys are employees first. You guys are human beings first. You guys are, you know. But at some point, when you guys start getting in with Vegas, getting in with gambling communities, getting in with getting players a lot of money, and Andrew Wiggins being one of the highest paid players in the NBA, and we don't get any type of explanation of why he's missing time other than personal reasons. We need to know. Like, something is going on where we need to know as a basketball community, a basketball fan base, as an NBA community, where we need to know what's going on with him, where he's missing time over and over again. Because there are bets out there that are saying, like, hey, Andrew Wiggins is going to average such and such amount of many points per game for the full season. And when he takes a hiatus after the All-Star break 2 years in a row, we deserve an explanation of why our bet didn't cash. Because we are time again, I don't know what that was, but hopefully that person knows that I'm recording a podcast live. Forgot not the podcast, don't forget. But time again, we have a league that continues to just slap us in the face. Don't try during the All-Star game. You don't play when we come to see you. You don't give full effort. You go on podcasts and you complain about how many games you have to play to get in a certain incentive. Now you're just saying, hey, I'm going to take a PTO and I'm going to request some time off without letting the fans know why I'm taking the time off. And we're just going to say it's for personal reasons. Well, personally, I believe that we should know why we're taking time off, why the time is being taken off. Because this man right here, This man right here behind me, when he was taking time off, when he was going through a lot of, well, sorry, I will say this. Let me rephrase that, because he didn't take time off. But when he was going through his trials and tribulations in the Colorado rape case, in the sexual assault case, live on TV, this guy was out there playing basketball still in front of the world to just harp on him, call him names, spit on him. And yes, he admitted to having an affair with the lady. Didn't ever admit to, violating a woman, but he did admit to the affair happening and whatnot. And yes, he did that. And yes, I am not over here defending a, I guess for lack of better words, cheater. But Kobe Bryant, no matter what you can say about him, he set a standard that, hey, when I am on the court, I'm here to play. Because I got a job, not just for myself, not for my family, but to the fans that come out and support me. You don't see this type of atmosphere in any other sport, or I'm sorry, any other field. But there's not a lot of fields where people pay to go see you play. Play to go see you do your job. No one's paying me to go over here and sell software. I'm sorry, but I sell software really good. I'm very exciting. My Zoom calls are amazing. My when I'm on the floor, it's amazing. When I'm in your office, I make you feel great. But nobody's paying me pay-per-view money. No one's paying me ticket money. No one's paying concession money to sit up there and watch some popcorn and watch me play. Watch me go sell. They just aren't. And as fans, we are doing that to a guy like Andrew Wiggins. And let's face it, we are the reason why these guys are getting paid a lot of money. Without us, there's no one getting paid. I'll say it again. Without fans, nobody is getting paid. Nobody's getting money. And when you come up to a point where Andrew Wiggins is a guy who back-to-back seasons, personal reasons out, again, on hiatus, we need to know why. Now, I know Ramadan's coming up, so maybe he is Muslim and he's Ramadan. I'm not trying to insinuate that, but if that is the case, I respect his religious practices. But there's guys who in the past have played under Ramadan, Hakeem Olajuwon, latest as Kyrie Irving. I'm sure there's other guys I'm not naming right now. I'm just naming the star players that are in this league and who carry the brand. But we have to do a better job as a NBA league in terms of respecting our fans more. Because at the end of the day, without the fans, you guys are not getting paid. And I'm sorry, but the only reason why NBA is even getting considered or is even being watched right now is because of three guys. Three guys, sorry. I'll say this: Steph, LeBron, and the other three guys. You could swap names out from Joker to Giannis to KD, but they're to Luka. Sorry, Luka, but there's not a lot of guys where I'm just like, oh yeah, I gotta watch him play. There just isn't anymore. But when my Lakers come to town, I will try to go to the game. But that's a brand, though. That's not a player. And for so long, the NBA has been a player-driven league where if you want to make it a brand-driven league, so be it. I will for sure be a brand-driven league because I will love my Lakers. I will not stop rooting for the Lakers. But when you make it a player-driven league, players need to be accountable for what they are doing and why they're doing it. All right. Hopefully you guys will enjoy my NBA rant right there for a sec. But I just, fresh, this is a leap year today. You know, today doesn't even exist, So we're just going to go to the next topic. And let's go to the NFL Combine. NFL Combine said that I believe that the defensive lineman and the linebackers are playing today. So pretty much we are going to figure out who are the beasts, who, measurements and stuff like that. There are a couple of things that I kind of want to talk about with the combine coming up and kind of address with the NFL before I head out for the day. There are a lot of people, I would say, in the NFL community that I am, and I guess I'll just say this. Marvin Harrison is no longer a top receiver anymore to a lot of teams. And it's been circulating like that for a long time, especially in the scouting community. But it's coming out publicly now where even media members are saying, yeah, I don't think that Neighbors is too far off of Harrison. I'm listening to Colin Kerr before I hopped on the podcast, and there was a guy on there saying the same thing. Neighbors is his number one guy in the draft class over Caleb Williams, by the way, and Marvin Harrison. So there's a lot of guys going on and just figuring out, like, hey, are we going to see something in the draft where Marvin Harrison has been the number one guy for the longest and Neighbors just surpasses him? So, and then Neighbors is in the combine. Harrison is not in the combine. Is that going to affect his draft stock? Pro day is obviously going to do pro days, but what are we going to see? So I think there's a lot of stuff that we got to talk about as we get closer to draft, and maybe hopefully I can have some guys on my podcast as guests just to kind of talk about the draft and figuring out, you know, who's. But, you know, just my opinion, I don't think anyone's better than Marvin Harrison. He just has the complete package. I've seen Neighbors. He's great with separation. He's great with just knowing how to find the open spot and get open. But here's the thing with receiver and being a great receiver in the NFL. We see a lot of guys be great at doing what Neighbors does for the first few years in their career. But what happens is teams will game plan against you, and they will double you, they will triple you, they will follow you across the field as you try to get open, as you try to create separation, because they can't have someone guard you man-on-man. So as you kind of look into your crystal ball, look into the future, you got to think about how teams game plan against guys like Neighbors, like the Jamar Chase, you know, how teams game plan against him. Like, no one is single covering Jamar Chase. They are literally zoning him. They're playing zones, and he has to find open spots. And yeah, he may break free one or two times. He may get five catches, 120 yards, but you limit the amount of time he touches the ball. So what did the Bengals do this year? They did a lot of screen plays, a lot of short passing plays because he wasn't able to break free. So when you got a guy like Neighbors, you got to be careful when you draft him and how high you draft him, because there's not a lot of variables that he has to work with if he loses the ability to create separation, because it's hard to create separation on air. And it just is. Like, when you're on air, it's hard to create separation. And what I mean air is, like, you're not being guarded from a man. You are being literally guarded by zones. There's one guy in one zone, another guy in another zone, another guy in another zone. When you're talking about Harrison, I'm telling you this. Harrison is a guy who does not create as much separation as Neighbors, but even when he doesn't, he still catches the ball. So let me kind of do it like this. If you're in a crowded room, right, and you have, you know, I'm talking about football now, right? So we're talking about football, crowded room, and you have a guy that can go out there, he can make every single catch, but he can't get open every single play. And they have another guy who can go out there and make every single catch, but he can get open every play. But sometimes he won't get open because there's a lot of guys going to be focused on him. Which guy do you want? All right. And I think that's where you got to figure out, do you want Harrison or Neighbors? Because Harrison's not going to be – he's not going to be open any play, but he's going to be able to catch every ball. And that's what he has proven with Kyle McCord at quarterback, who was very bad. CJ Stroud at quarterback. You know, he's proven that with any quarterback he has – any throw you make, I will catch it. You throw in the back of the end zone with three guys on me, I will catch it. You throw it to me across the field with the safety coming down in the field, I will catch it. So when you look at that, I'm a Harrison guy. I just am. I love Harrison. I've been liking Harrison for the longest time. I don't think there's a guy that's better than him. I don't think there's been a guy like Harrison that has entered the draft in a very long time. I just don't. Calvin Johnson is the only person that I have seen where I'm just like, oh yeah, Calvin Johnson, number one pick overall. Like, if I'm a Bears, I'm drafting Harrison over Caleb Williams. Now, I got a man in franchise. I did not do that. I drafted Caleb Williams, and I traded for the Commanders' second overall pick, and I drafted Marvin Harrison with that pick. But yeah, the draft is upcoming. We got next month, or I guess 2 months now, because we're in April, we're in February still. But yeah, guys, That's all I got for today. Thanks for watching, though. I appreciate the views. We'll try to get this going occasionally. Today's Thursday, so if I don't drop a podcast again tomorrow, it'll be out next week. But until then, hopefully we can get my brother back on. Kind of work it out, you know, because he's in a different state. But hopefully we can get him back on and try to figure it out from there. All right, guys. Go Lakers. Peace and love.